Last week, we talked about the parable of the sower, and that dealt with a specific problem that Matthew was having in his community, and that was that there were some folks who just couldn't hear the gospel. There were other folks who heard it and got real excited and then left very quickly. There were others who, though they took root in the community because of the cares of the world and the cares about money, they left, and then there were others who were left to hold down the fort, so to speak. Well, that appears in three of the Gospels. This story today only appears in Matthew, but I think Matthew intends it as a continuation of last week's story. It's another one of those agricultural parables, but he's dealing with a different question or a different problem. Why is it among those who are left, after all the others have gone, those who have heard the gospel and are rooted here, why is it that there's so many weeds? We're not all bearing fruit. Because you see, the only difference between a weed and the stalk of wheat is the stalk of wheat bears fruit. The weed doesn't. Now, they both take nourishment from the soil. They both depend upon the rain and the water, but only one bears fruit. And we talked last week about the primary job of the followers of Jesus is to bear fruit. Well, as I said to the children, my father did not subscribe to Jesus' idea of farming in this story, okay? He did not believe that you ought to let the weeds grow along with the other plants. You were to get rid of those weeds. But in this story, Jesus has the farmer, once he has sowed good seed and someone else has snuck in and sowed weeds, to say, let them both grow together. At the harvest, we'll figure it out. We'll sort it all out then. It's not your problem. It's not your issue to figure out who's wheat and who's weeds. Your job is to bear fruit. One of the big problems is Matthew's community, it appears, couldn't hear that, because a little bit later there is an interpretation of this story. Now, in my opinion, the story comes from Jesus, but the interpretation may have been shaded a little or actually created by Matthew's community, because there are elements in there that don't appear in the original story. You see, in the interpretation, the person who slips in at night and sows the seeds is the enemy. So the weeds that grow up are the result of the enemy, okay? And at the end, now of course, you just let them grow together, but at the end of time, when God and the angels harvest all of these, not only are the bundles of weeds thrown in the fire, but this is seen in Matthew's interpretation as a punishment. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But of course, the good wheat, us, will be fine because we'll be on the threshing floor. The interesting thing is, in that original parable, the burning of the weeds is not framed as a punishment at all. I had a teacher, I traveled to Israel in the 1980s on several occasions, and I had a professor there, Dr. James Fleming, who suggested a different interpretation for this particular story. His interpretation was that the bundling of the weeds into shocks that could be burned, and of course the stalks of wheat would be done the same way. They would be bundled too once the grain was threshed, once the grain was taken from it. That was his idea, that this was God's economy, and in God's economy nothing was lost. Even the weeds had a purpose. They didn't bear fruit, but they were useful. Even the stalks of wheat that did bear fruit had a purpose. Now, one reason I like Jim Fleming's interpretation is that the other interpretation historically has gotten us into a lot of trouble, because the church always loves to choose who are the weeds and who are the wheat. Of course, we're the wheat, right? In Matthew's community, there was a conflict going on with the synagogue. And so in Matthew's community, the Jewish folks who could not accept Jesus as Messiah were the weeds, and those who could were the wheat. Well, in the synagogue, those who rejected Jesus as Messiah were the wheat, and those in Matthew's community who accepted Jesus as Messiah were the weeds. And we Christians have kept that tradition going. After all, there was a period of time when the Catholics believed they were the wheat and we Protestants were the weeds, and we Protestants believed that we were the wheat and they were the weeds. Where'd that get us? You see, we like to try to decide who will be interpreted as the wheat and who will be interpreted as the weeds. And of course, those who agree with me are wheat, and all those other people are weeds. And we do that with lots of different groups of people. From early in the history of the church, there were those heretics that were weeds, right? And you can do away with them. If you look at the Middle East today, the Palestinian folk believe that the Jewish folk and the Jewish state constitute weeds that need to be plucked up and thrown away while they are the wheat. And on the other hand, the Jewish citizens of Israel think they are the wheat and the Palestinians need to be plucked and thrown away because they're weeds. You see where it gets us? Do you see where this interpretation leads? It is not where Jesus was leading us. It was not about bearing fruit. It is about judging others. But guess what? The wheat doesn't get to decide who's a stalk of wheat and who's a weed. That only happens at the harvest. God decides that, okay? The office of judge of the universe is not vacant. None of us need apply. The job of the wheat is simply to bear fruit, the fruit of God's love. We said that last week. I'm saying it again because it's so very important. Our job is not to try to decide who's in and who's out. Our job is simply to bear fruit. Let the two grow together, and God will sort it out in God's time and in God's way. That interpretation where we come up with an us and them, and the us is always right and the them is always wrong, results from what Robin Myers, who is a writer and a pastor and a professor out in Oklahoma and who will be our Clark lecturer in the spring. Robin Myers says, that's the kind of theology you get when you do theology without a poet in the room. Because these stories are about metaphors. They're about similes. And you have to allow that resonant language to happen. Now, I didn't bring along a poet to be in the room, but I brought a storyteller, a short story writer, to be in the room because, you see, I think Flannery O'Connor can help us with this particular issue and this particular interpretation. In the very last story she published, the very last story she finished, actually, before her death, a story called Revelation, she portrays a good woman, a woman who obviously thinks she is the wheat, okay? Her name is Mrs. Turpin. Mrs. Turpin lives a clean life. She does all the proper things. She even hoses down her hogs just to make sure they're cleaner than everybody else's hogs. She finds herself, along with her husband, Claude, in a doctor's office. And she's looking at the people gathered there, and she's finding the weeds. I mean, there is a poor woman and her son. There are all those people that thank God. She thanks God she is not. And she's very vocal about this. She thanks God she is not African-American, although she doesn't use that term. She thanks God that she's not poor white trash, which I would have been considered growing up. She thanks God that she's not like these people who don't have manners. She thanks God, finally, She's talking to a lady whose daughter is sitting over to the side reading a book called Human Development. And she jumps up and she says something terribly offensive to Mrs. Turpin. She says, "Why don't you go back to hell where you came from, you old warthog?" Nobody had ever said that to her, okay? She never expected anybody to say that to her because she was wheat. She was a good woman. She knew it because she wasn't like all these other people. She even hosed down her hogs. Okay? Now, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you the end of the story. So you can either plug your ears, or a better choice would be to go read the story. Because believe me, Flannery O'Connor does it a whole lot better than my poor summary could ever do. She goes home and she's really troubled. She was startled by this outburst from the young woman. But often, O'Connor uses that kind of outburst, sometimes even violence, as an opening into grace for people, as an opening into a deeper understanding. So when she goes home, she can't sleep. She's troubled by these things. And finally, at the end of the story, she goes out to do the one thing that she knows reminds her that she's wheat. She goes out to hose down the hogs. And she's spraying them down, getting them good and clean, and all of a sudden she has a vision. And in the vision there is this arc of light, like a bridge or a road. And on that road, she sees all those people that she is glad she's not like. The African Americans, the poor white trash, the people who don't have manners, those who can't walk, can't see, can't hear. She describes some of them as jumping and leaping like frogs. But then where is she? Toward the end of that line of people, she sees the good, respectable folks, the folks she would belong with. And O'Connor says she could tell by their altered faces that even their virtues had been burned away. What a striking thing to say. All of these virtues that make us better than other people get burned away. All of those things that make us thankful we're not like them get burned away. Remember, the stalks of wheat get burned along with the weeds as soon as the grain is taken. They become fuel. God can use the fruit that we bear. But just be prepared. That inside us, which is weed, the things that have grown up inside us that don't produce fruit, that take the nourishment, are burned away. And if Flannery O'Connor's right, even the virtues go by the wayside. Because all that matters is that we have borne fruit that gets passed along to someone other than us, that gets shared beyond ourselves and our little circle. That's what lives on. For the time being, we just let the two grow together. At least that's what Jesus says.